This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's June 22nd, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM in stores. And that's also whus.org. We will continue to do this until we're allowed back in the studios at UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's Rant of the Week. Okay, we're going to start it out with looting and the bicycle industry. Yeah, you know, we've had some riots across the country. Obviously, there are riots all over the world. And, of course, bicycle shops are in cities where some of this looting is occurring. And so, you know, we've had some folks that have had some trouble with that. This is actually from Bicycle Retail and Industry News, and a Philadelphia bicycle shop by the name of Bicycle Therapy spoke out about being looted. And he said here, "We don't feel like it's something to be mad about. There are far more serious things to be mad about in this world." Very positive comment for someone who got looted. But anyway, Bicycle Therapy sits on the 2200 block of South Street in Philadelphia, where it's served as a staple of the community for the past 30 years. And around 10 p.m. on Saturday, May 30th, the owner, Lee Rogers, and his wife, Taryn Mudge Rogers, received a phone call from the tenants who live above the shop telling that it was being burglarized. It was the most extensive break in the store that the store had ever faced. It's also different from previous ones in another aspect. The looting occurred during the historic number of anti-racism Black Lives Matter protests around Philadelphia and other U.S. cities in response to George Floyd's death in Minneapolis 5 days prior. The bike shop is well protected by metal gates and riot glass, but that didn't stop the people from making off with 15 bicycles, including a huge cargo e-bike, Mudge Rogers told Bicycling. Based on the video and photo documentation that the tenants above the shop were able to capture, about 9 people were involved in the break-in. "There's no evidence of large crowds or protests," Mudge Rogers said. "It burns a little bit thinking that it could have been more targeted, more opportunist." So part of why this is an opportunist thing is there's a huge bicycle shortage right now. And of course, you know, bikes are a major commodity. So that may be why a bike store might be targeted. It's a rant. It's something that, you know, please leave the local bike shops alone. They are working their tails off this time of year. This year, especially, because there's so much going on out there. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Pete. Nice to see you. And Mike again, the other Mike. So we got a few people watching right now. Thanks a lot for watching, you guys. And those of you who own bike shops, I feel for you and having to deal with the situation, but hopefully things will calm down here soon and we'll be back to just working, you know, 18 hours a day trying to keep you up on your repairs. Anyway, you know the story. So I just thought I would bring that up on my rant today. I think it's important that we touch base on that sort of thing. Looting is just, it's not a great idea. You know, it's just there are other things you can do to make a statement. You don't need to be looting. And I don't think that a lot of the protesters were doing the looting, but that's just I think it's an opportunity. It opens a door for that, and that's why that happens. So on a positive side, this is a good one. Fran gets to comment on this one. Okay, so on the positive side, the Mount Laurels are alive and awake in Connecticut right now. Mount Laurel is our state flower here in the state of Connecticut. And up here where we live in the northeastern corner of the state, we have an amazing display of mountain laurel bushes. It's I don't know if it's the same in other parts. I know northwestern Connecticut also has a lot of laurel bushes, and you tend to get off into the little bit hillier areas and all, but they are just blossoming like crazy right now. So we do a ride every year that is normally a much bigger ride than what we had yesterday, but we do this ride up into Union, Connecticut, which population 800, by the way. Yes, there is a town in Connecticut with a population of 800. So anyway, we went up to Union, Connecticut, and I will also shout out to the bait and tackle store that's up in Union. Remember, Fran?
Yeah.
He was awesome, and he has cold drinks, and is very, very friendly, and lives right next door, and it was really, really nice. And he lives, and his establishment is right across the street from the entrance to the Mountain Laurel Preserve on Route 190. If you go to my Facebook page, well, you're there now, you will see that I put a link to the actual Ride with GPS file that we have that I established a few years ago that rides out of Mansfield Center and the Southeast Elementary School on Route 89. And you can actually go and do this ride if you want to. I'd recommend doing it within the next few days because the mountain laurels eventually they go by, and then we won't see them anymore. But it's really an awesome, awesome ride because it's just a tremendous view when you go there. It's very, very overwhelming actually when you take a look at it. You can't believe how many bushes there are and how beautiful it is. So that's the Mountain Laurel ride. Fran and I rode on it. There are some pictures also on the Facebook page that you will see of both Fran and I. And we had two other friends join us on that ride. And we kept our social distance. We did a good job on that. And we also always carry our masks with us too. So if we get in a situation where we need to be covered up, we do cover up. I would like to stay fit and healthy, just like I am right now. So that's why I'm doing that. Another on the positive side, which I missed because last week my show was before it happened, but on June 17th, Fast Eddie, the Cannibal Merckx, turned 75. So a happy birthday to the greatest cyclist of all time. Eddie Merckx turned 75 years old last Wednesday. And so that's kind of a cool thing. We are big Eddie Merckx fans here because he's the legend. He's the man. So anyway, yeah, that's a big deal. Let me see if I can find here. I thought I had him on the screen, but I seem to have not found him. But anyway, I have Eddie is just he's if you look at his career, it's absolutely stunning to see what he has done in his years on the bicycle. Just really, really good stuff. So anyway, a big shout out to Eddie Merckx, a big happy birthday to Eddie Merckx, and hope he had a great time. And I hope he got out and rode his bike because he still rides his bike, but that's good. The Maintenance Minute. Yesterday's ride brought upon the... brought upon the annoying creak on my bike. Anyone ever have an annoying creak on your bike? Well, I had one yesterday.
I've had everything.
Yeah, Fran has had everything, and I am the first one to hear about it. After she's heard it.
You told me to.
After she's heard it, of course. But yeah. Well, it's nice to have a personal mechanic and domestique in your midst. That must be nice.
You told me that if I hear anything wrong, I'm supposed to tell you.
And you do. And you do. And so anyway, yes, I have the annoying creak on my bike. It sounds like it's bottom bracket related, but you know, being a carbon bike, it could be anywhere on the bike and just sound like it's coming from somewhere else. The, you know, that's what's going on. Wow, the bicycle industry is getting thinner and thinner on bike parts, according to Mike. Interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. So anyway, the annoying creak, where is it? I have had annoying creaks that have appeared, and they sound like they come from the bottom bracket, and they're coming from the headset. I've had annoying creaks appear that are sounding like they're in the rear wheel, and they're the front wheel skewer being loose and therefore rubbing the wheel back and forth on a lot of power, and I've got the creak there. I also am suspicious of it. I haven't looked at the bike yet, so I have to check this out. But I am also suspicious of the seat and seat post, because I have also found that if you get any kind of looseness there or dryness, and there is a special material you use for the carbon post inside the carbon frame that is made by, I think Finish Line Products makes that, but at least the one I have is that, and it just really cures the problem. It's sort of a grease with a grit in it. Really works well. So my maintenance minute is I got to find my creak, and I'll report back next week and I'll let you know what I found. But could be bottom bracket cup, could be anything. And then the other thing that I wanted to touch on for the maintenance minute is I wanted to talk about the aspects of bar tape to consider. So bar tape is kind of it's a personal preference. It's a special thing. It's become very, very sophisticated over the years. And there are some bar tapes that are in price ranges that I don't pay attention to, because it just seems like it's a little higher than what I want to pay for bar tape. My personal favorite, if you're talking to Pedal and Ron, and you say, what kind of bar tape do you use? Chinelli Cork. I was sold on it years ago. It's just the, it's the best I've found. If cork gets wet, you can grip on it. That's because it's cork. So if you have sweaty hands, you still have good grip with cork. If you're out on a rainy ride, you still have grip on your handlebars because it's cork. There's a lot of really good reasons why I like cork. Plus, it also does absorb a lot of road pressure as far as that goes. So if you're getting a lot of vibration from the road and it's coming up and through the handlebars, the cork actually helps do that. But there are other materials out there that do that. I know that Specialized Bicycles makes a wrap, and their wrap comes with a gel insert that you can put underneath the wrap itself, and then you wrap your tape around, and that will actually dampen an awful lot too. And you can do that. There are other bar tapes that come with their own dampening material in them. The big thing about a lot of bar tape is, people like it to look good all the time. And one thing about Chinelli Cork is my recommendation is black, because it doesn't clean real well. So, whereas some of the new synthetics are much, much easier to clean. So anyway, bar tape, maintenance minute, annoying creaks. That's it. I'm done. I'm all done with that right now. Why don't you send over your favorite bar tape that you like and the reasons why, and we'd love to hear from you on that. So another thing that is going on right now, and again, my screen is just like missing things here for some reason. So the bicycle market, this is from Bicycle Retailer, and the bicycle market is skyrocketing, and sales in April were up 75%. So this is a coronavirus thing. Yeah, this is a definite situation. We've got an awful lot of people that are out riding their bikes now. They're out riding with their families. A lot of things are going on. It's a pretty big deal. So yeah, it has spurred the sales of bicycles, and the bike industry is just cooking right now because of it. So it's just something that I thought that I just found my Eddie Merck story. Oh well, it's a really, really good thing that the bike business is up. We love hearing this. The bad news is, and I'm getting reports here by the minute, Cat Eye Cotton Tape. Whoa, there you go. Mr. LeChance, you are an old timer. that's pretty funny. I used to use Cat Eye Cotton Tape also. We're going back in time here a little bit. But, somebody still has cotton tape out there. I've seen it. I've actually seen it. It looks like the skyrocketing bike market right now is starting to run into some issues here. 24-inch tires, 26-inch tires, tubes, rear Acera derailleurs, tourney derailleurs, they're all gone. Things are disappearing fast. So what are we going to do about this? I don't know what is to be done about it. They weren't manufacturing product for a number of months, and so therefore there's going to be a big hiccup here. Hopefully the bicycle industry is, you know, really focusing on this and some of the stuff get back out. But don't be surprised if you go to your local bike shop and they say, I'd love to fix your bike, but I can't get any parts for it. And it's starting to happen, and this is a bit of a problem. Mr. Chirolas likes leather bar tape these days. I like leather bar tape. Leather's nice. It's got a good feel to it. It's another one of those things. It lasts forever as long as you don't crash it. It does last forever. But anyway, I'm bouncing back and forth here. So the bike shop dilemma is, okay, bike business is cranking. It's way, way up. There's no question about that. But the negative side to that is that we've got shortages, major, major shortages. Monthly sales in the bicycle business totaled $1 billion in April, according to the MPD Group data. The U.S. cycling sales through all retail channels grew by 75% in April to a total of $1 billion in retail sales for the month, according to the NPD Group. NPD said April was the first month since they began tracking the cycling market that sales have reached $1 billion in a single month. Typically, April sales fall between 550,000 and 575,000. So it just, unbelievable, doubled, just doubled. Company said bikes for family use, neighborhood riding, and lower price points showed the strongest year-over-year sales gains. Leisure lifestyle bikes grew by 203%. Front suspension mountain bicycles were up by more than 150%, and children's bikes increased by 107% for the month. Thank goodness. Oh, my God. Children's bikes. Love it. Kids on bikes. What can you do? We went by a driveway the other day. Fran and I were out for a ride, and there was this little tiny kid, and she was out on her, it was probably like a Strider bike or a Scoot bike of some sort, and she was out there, and she was just, she had her helmet on, and she's riding around her, and I just yelled out, nice bike, you know, wow, it's great to see you. You know, you want to really encourage these kids when you see them on bikes. And she yelled something back to us, but I think we missed it, but it sounded positive, whatever it was. I don't know if you caught that, Fran, but it was pretty cute. So anyway, yeah, children's bikes up 100%, 107% for the month. Accessory sales also grew, including helmets, up 49%. Water bottle cages, up 60%. And bike baskets, up 85%. Says here, for far too long, the cycling industry has been solely focused on the pinnacle athlete, but these results show a broader family and beginner focus that can reap gains. This is a silver lining in one of the most important sports retail lessons to come out of the pandemic, said Mike Powell, NPD's sports industry advisor. Indoor riding products also saw large increases. Stationary bike sales grew by 270% for the month, and the April sale was the highest that NPD currently has on record. Trainers and rollers experienced a growth rate of 415%. The excitement that consumers are showing in cycling, particularly in the recreational and family riding, is absolutely amazing movement for the bicycle community. This is a unique and powerful chance for retailers, manufacturers, nonprofit organizations to engage new riders. So that's what it's all about. That was from Bicycle Retailer. Nice little piece of information there about what's going on here. It's only gonna, you know, this is only gonna get better. This is a beautiful thing. I don't think we're going to see the last of this. I think this is with us for a while. So, what's the end story on that? Okay, well, let's look at this. This, I think, comes from the BBC. And coronavirus, your new bike won't be in stock until 2020. The bike search frenzy. Mm-hmm. So there it is. You know, you may not be able to buy yourself a new model until you know, A, 2021, the model year, because that's what's in production right now, if it is actually in production. I know when I spoke to Mike from Tony's, he said that he had a possibility of some 2021s showing up in maybe August, I think is what he said. And, you know, it's, but the problem is, you know, they show up in August, and are they going to sell before you have to pay the bills? So that's, you know, it's certainly something to consider. But yeah, yeah, this is the real deal. This is definitely something that we never thought we were going to experience in this industry. I certainly never realized it was going to happen. So Mike says we have some stuff. That's good, Mike. That's good. Keep checking in, and let us know. So yeah, I think the numbers are still going to be up there, and there are still shops that are able to produce repairs. And I know the repair network is crazy. I've heard stories of anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks behind right now in my general area here. So it's really crazy out there. So a shout out to those of us. Actually, I got two shops in my area. I've got Pedal Power that is down in Willimantic. And then I have the Store Center Cycle. There's their water bottle right there. Little promo for you guys. And they're just working their butts off right now up in stores. And, you know, it's just a crazy time. It's just a really, really crazy time. But when are we going to see new bikes again? It's going to be a while. There's not much available that is, you know, under $1,000 right now as far as retail pricing goes. So it's getting tough. I even went on to, it was Facebook Marketplace or something the other day, and I'm noticing that the only things that I'm seeing on there that are of any quantity are, you know, used department store bikes. Not looking real great. So it's, you know, it's just, that's what happens. We're experiencing a major boom, and we're just gonna, you know, hold our breath and hope that maybe the bicycle manufacturers get it together enough to get things out to us in a timely fashion so that we can still ride. Remember, and this is something that a lot of people forget about up here in the Northeast, is just because Labor Day happens doesn't mean that there's not great cycling that goes on afterwards. There's tons of great cycling in the fall. And I know the mindset about a lot of people is that they say, well, it's Labor Day, I'm back to work, I'm back to school, I'm back to this, back to that, so I don't have time for that. Make time for it. Make time for it. Your old pal here, Pedal and Ron at Bicycle Talk, thinks you should make time for it. So I would do that if I were you. So what else do I have here? Okay, this is what I had slipped on earlier, and I apologize for it, but the happy 75th birthday to Eddie Merckx. He's considered to be the best cyclist of all time. If you don't know anything about him, then I want to know what rock you're under, because you couldn't miss this guy. This guy has been he's been a phenomenon in the bicycle world. And once you start riding a bike, his name always pops up. Somebody has a story about him, or someone will share a tape with him about, you know, with a video of him and say, you know, look at this guy. He's amazing. He won 3 big tours. He won the Worlds and almost all the classics on the calendar. There's been no other rider like him. The Cannibal, as he was called, had an insatiable hunger that made him start every race as the main favorite. Merckx left nothing for the others. He raced from the beginning to the end of the year like no riders do now. Born in the middle-class family, at 16, he obtained his first race license. 4 months later, he took his first victory. 4 months later. He left his studies, and at 20 years old, he had already turned professional and won the Milan-San Remo with the Peugeot team. He started in a total of 1,800 races during his life, in which he won 535 of them, 445 as a professional. The Belgian conquered the Tour de France 5 times, 69, 70, 71, 72, and 74, the same number of times in the Giro d'Italia. The pink jersey was his in 68, 70, 72, 73, and 74. So in 1970, he won the Giro and the Tour de France. In 72, he did it again. And in 74, he did it again. Nobody does that. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody more, and not anymore. So his quote here is, "My determination and willingness to work hard came from his father." It's a little Father's Day note here, since yesterday was Father's Day. "He worked tirelessly to build his business. He was strict with discipline, but he was also a bit of a philosopher. I've always been reminded of his words throughout my life. From my mother, I got the softer side. An example of this is the fact that I often find it difficult to say no to people," said the champion after retiring. So anyway, that's Eddie Merckx. It was Eddie Merckx's birthday. Big shout out to Eddie. Big shout out to all the professional cyclists that are kind of sitting around right now, not doing much because of this, problem with the coronavirus. But anyway, bicycle racing will continue eventually. There still is a threat of the Tour de France coming back to see us here in late August. I don't believe it until I see it. But anyway, so all of this is bringing up more and more discussions about group rides. And I think we're having another discussion this evening, I think, with our local club on this. But everybody is just jonesing for the group ride. I want to go out and ride my bike with my friends again. I want to do this. We did a really, really, I won't even really call this a group. It was four of us. And we were very careful and very safe. And we did a ride. I think that's a good number. I don't think much more than six is a good answer right now. We don't know this yet. We don't have enough information, and we don't know where this is going to go. There will be bigger rides. There are announcements of bigger rides. USA Cycling, at this very time that I'm on the air here, is actually having a promoters meeting online, which I will watch the tape of after I'm done doing this, to see exactly what they talked about as far as opening the floodgates a little bit more for riding. In the meantime, we have people out riding their bikes, and I marked out three different routes from the North Windham School out here in northeastern Connecticut. And there's a 25, there's a 35, which is actually 36, and then there is a 45-mile ride. And they're actually marked in the road, and there are GPS links to them. So if you want to do the ride with GPS, they'll show you where to go, just to give people rides to go on. I found a lot of our club members are doing them, which is surprising to me, but encouraging too at the same time. The other thing is, you know, if you live in an area where there are a lot of cyclists out there, if you go to ride with GPS, you are going to find a lot of rides out there that you could follow if you're looking for, you know, rides to go on. I know it's not the same as riding with your friends, but it still is, you know, it's a ride you can go on. Or my favorite thing, and my friend Martin and I were out riding yesterday, and I was talking to him about it, and he reminded me why he is near and dear to my heart. And that is that he said sometimes he likes to just go out and go exploring and turn up that road, because he's never been up that road and he wants to know where it goes. And so that's what he'll do. And this is one of the beautiful things about riding a bike, is you can do things like this.
Dave Wahlberger likes to do that too.
And Dave Wahlberger, who was the other guy who was with us yesterday, he loves to do that too. So we were with, you know, other people that do what we do when we go out and ride our bikes. And, you know, it was nice to ride with them. It was very enjoyable. And we did a lot of catching up, I think, yesterday on the ride, which was really, it was a really, really good thing to do. But, you know, it's also good to hear that they're not restricting themselves by, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to motivate myself. So we're going to talk a little bit about motivating yourself. Motivating for cycling. And there's things that you can do to keep yourself out on your bike. Maybe you need to come up with some imaginative ways of getting yourself out the door. And, you know, first of all, I think The big thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you have some sort of a cache of rides that you can do that are in your area. And that Ride with GPS link is the way to go. That's absolutely the way to go. So this was compiled by a, this is Dr. Lisa Lewis, and she breaks down her top tips to bust out of the COVID clampdown and get remotivated for the session ahead. This comes from Pez Cycling News. Feeling good, living longer, getting stronger, better blood pressure, in check cholesterol, enhanced mood, improved sleep, increased sex drive, upgraded attention, looking hot, and on and on. Yeah, that's why. There you go. That's all good motivation, right? So get a scrap of paper, a napkin, or open a document on your computer and write down the 10 reasons why you cycle, to train, to exercise, to compete, etc. Just make a list. Don't think too hard or too long. Just jot them down as fast as you can. Give yourself 2 minutes. Now put that aside for a moment and consider the construct of the motivation. As complicated and ever-changing growth directed creatures, we humans are separate from the rest of the animal kingdom by our psychology, and specifically our innate desire to grow, improve, and gain mastery over our environments. Since we pursue careers, follow dreams, take up hobbies, aspire to be better than we are, since you're reading this article, you are motivated to be one of the following: faster, stronger, smarter, better. Motivating to enhance your cycling, you have most likely adopted behaviors and developed habits that others would consider impressive or disciplined. How many times have you had that happen where, let's say, you're in a family environment or a work environment or whatever it is, and you're around what we used to have, we call them groups of people, remember that? And you say something about, yeah, well, you know, before I came to the picnic today, I went out and I rode my bike a little. You know, I went for a short bike ride. And they look at you and they go, so what's a short bike ride? And you go, well, it's only 35 miles today because I knew I had to come to the picnic.
That's not short.
And people look back at you and go, what? What are you talking about? You know who you are. Yeah, I don't need to. And don't you tell me that's not short, because
it's
you.
That's a medium. It is. Short ride.
The definition is determined by the person in question.
A short ride is 25 or less.
That is your opinion.
Yeah.
For Dave Wahlberger, a short ride is 60 miles or less.
No.
The man rides all the time.
I know, but he'll go out for a 15-mile ride around the neighborhood.
He will. But anyway, so you look at your reasons for cycling along this continuum of motivation to see what helps you to get after it, or at the gym or on the bike day after day. Label one of your answers with a number corresponding to the best discipline on that motive. Reasons for getting something good or avoiding something bad are externally regulated. For example, some people are incentivized by fat loss or driven by the opportunity to win a medal or trophy in a competition. If you wrote down anything about feeling guilty if I don't go, or being proud after a great ride, you are motivated by introjected regulation. Partially internalized, this motivation works by either moving you away from shame or guilt, or by pushing you toward pride. Any statements that you identify and your values are identified are integrated regulations. For example, training too hard is who I am. I've heard that one before. I really value being strong and fit, or I make sacrifices to keep myself healthy, or I'm athletic and want to look and feel athletic, or I want a long and happy, healthy life. You identify yourself with exercise and training hard and or cycling has become integrated into who you are as a person. You value the outcome of your hard work and find the results personally meaningful. It may not be fun, but damn it, you like what it's all worth. Oh, God. And then intrinsic motivation is when you cycle simply for the joy of it. Examples include, I'm in my zone, happy place, flow when I'm riding. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When I'm on my bike and I have my hands on the handlebars and I got two wheels spinning underneath me, that's my happy place. It doesn't matter whether I'm going fast, it doesn't matter whether I'm going slow, it doesn't matter anything. It's just The world is right when I'm on my bike. That's it. That's what works for me. And I think that I am the number four on this list on that one. So you you take a look at your scores on your motivation. If you notice a mix of scores of ones, twos, threes, and fours in your list, then you're regulated by a range of motives that combine and complement one another. For example, someday you may feel excited to get on your trainer and feel happy to just get out there. Okay, other days, maybe not so much. So anyway, this is motivation on your bike. How do you get yourself motivated? Solo bike motivation. This came from Bike Radar, and somebody made a comment. What do you use to motivate yourself when you go on training rides? I am finding it very hard to do so, and my fitness is suffering as a result, and I don't want to get all my hard work this summer to go to waste. So, you know, that's a thing. You know, it happens. And what my old friend George Orr, and I think maybe he rests in peace now. I'm not sure if George is still with us. I think someone told me that recently, that George had passed. But anyway, he had a comment, and he was a great coach and bicycle racer and mentor of many, many people who raced in Connecticut. And he used to say, if you get up in the morning and you go down to get your bike out and you pick it up and it feels really heavy, put it down and don't ride it that day. So, or the other thing was, I have OCD cycling. Very good. A lot of people do. So, you know, you could also just go really easy that day, or call up a friend, or, you know, or maybe a neighbor or someone or family member that just does not go fast on their bike at all. And don't worry about it and don't care about it. Go for a ride with them. It'll reset your brain. Things will be better the next day. You'll feel better. You really will. Sometimes you just got to go slow. So anyway, I'm getting a message from Tony. Tony, you missed a great ride yesterday. Too bad. But anyway, this comment was, I never really thought about it. I just get out there and ride solo, or otherwise probably do about 98% of my ride solo riding. Why is it difficult to motivate yourself on solo rides? You know, there's other comments. I do more than 99% of my riding alone. It's been a long time since I rode with company. Makes me wonder if I've become stronger when riding solo because of no drafting, and how I'd stack up against others on a club ride. So, and then more and more comments on this. My preference is usually to train alone, especially on long rides. I don't need any motivation to go out riding. What I lack is the motivation to get my work done before I could go out. That's funny. So, you know, what's your motivation for riding by yourself? How are you handling this in the current situation that we have right now? Let's hear from you. Just drop me a line. That'd be great. Bicycle Talk on Facebook, or also Bicycle Talk, @gmail.com. What's your motivation? What's keeping you riding your bike right now? And boy, the weather is just spectacular. That's another one. So top 10 tips to stay motivated for cycling. This coming from a British cycling release. So the first one on the list is set long-term goals. Whether you're a Great Britain cycling team member and working towards the Olympics, or a racer wanting to move up in category next season for training for your first sportif, having one of those big long-term goals will help keep you focused and motivated. Use short-term goals as stepping stones. Long-term goals can seem a bit distant, so use the short-term goals as stepping stones towards them. These can be done daily, weekly, or monthly. Make sure that they challenge you, but are attainable. That's a big one, but are attainable. I encourage that point right there. Hitting certain power numbers in a session, target of distance in the week, or monthly weight loss are all examples of short-term goals. Use past results. You can use the results that you had from the past. Maybe pin a picture of yourself crossing a finish line or a podium, or maybe at the end of a big charity ride that you did, whatever it is. Maybe it was the Farm to Fork Fondo. Shout out to Tyler and friends. Use your friends. There's nothing more motivating than meeting up on a group ride, except you can't do that right now. So that's, you can still join the bike cycling club. You can still get information from them. And, spinning classes are still on the no-go at this time, as far as I'm seeing in most gyms and community centers. But, you know, these are ways of keeping you motivated. Follow your rivals, social media. Strava is a big one where you post on Strava and someone posts back, and there'll be a king of the mountain or a queen of the mountain there that somebody will have just, you know, set. And then sometimes that makes you want to go out and see if you can beat it. So that might be a way of motivating you. Add variety. Board on the bike, try something new, do some strength work, go for a swim, dig your running shoes out, try some mountain biking. Pretty soon you'll be itching to get back on your road bike again. Get enough rest and recovery. Number 7. Yeah, this is a big one, and I talk about this a lot, and I talk about it a lot with people who I talk to about training. A lack of motivation can be a sign that you're overdoing it. Remember that George Orr story I told earlier about if the bike feels too heavy, don't ride? This is it. That is a sign of overtraining. Look back at your training and check that you have been allowing adequate recovery. Don't forget that work, family commitments, and other non-cycling factors all contribute to fatigue and have to be considered. That's an interesting point. Number 8, follow a structured training plan. Having a training plan that means that you don't have to cross the additional motivational hurdle of deciding what sort of session to do. If you need that extra encouragement, knowing that you have a coach watching over you can really help. Number 9 on the list of 10 is something is always better than nothing. Sometimes life gets in the way of your cycling, and you just can't get out for a planned ride. It's easy to do nothing instead of get on your indoor trainer, do some mobility work, or use your foam roller. It all helps and stops you from falling into an all-or-nothing mindset. And number 10 on the list, reward yourself. When you do hit a goal, and if it is your main long-term goal, give yourself a bit of time to enjoy it. Don't just move straight into the next challenge. Give yourself a pat on the back. So those are the top 10 tips to stay motivated for cycling. I hope that people out there are doing that. I hope you're all staying motivated. This is a hard time. It's definitely a hard time. Next on my list of information here is the British Cycling. This comes from Cycling Weekly. They're announcing the next steps in return to riding events after the coronavirus lockdown. The national governing body has issued an update on group rides, coaching, and when racing might return. And this was dated just on the 18th of this month, so it was fairly recent. But, there's new updates that are out there. I have a screenshot of stage 3. This is in Great Britain. Sanctioned and club group activity and recreational program led rides. This is June of 2020, 4th of July for recreational program led rides. So that's when they're talking about permitting it, not until July 4th. Okay, group size up to 6 for club, group, and recreational program rides. Social distancing and hygiene must be adhered to. Hygiene protocols in place still. Where outdoor facilities that can be open for recreation or small group club activity in line with government and British guidelines. Open access roads, bridleways, trails, that sort of thing. Coaching, online coaching, small group sessions, small groups allowed. Once again, in Great Britain, as of July 4th, they are recommending up to 6 for a club group. So this is a pretty, this is definitely fairly limiting. Competition and racing, not permitted, period, not happening. Spectating, limited and discouraged. When we move to stage 4, which we don't know what stage 4 is going to be or when it's going to be, obviously this one goes up to July 4th, they're now talking about sanctioned club and group ride activity events, date permitted from unknown, increased group size threshold, but no numbers. Hygiene protocols remain. It's all pretty much in the dark as far as what's going to happen here. So we're going to see a lot more virtual rides. We're going to see a lot more self-motivating rides. That's kind of the protocol that's out there right now. Like I said, I will be checking in with USA Cycling later today to see what they said, because they made another announcement to the race promoters like myself. As far as my race goes, I have pretty much announced to my group that I am not going to be promoting the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross this year. And I feel very sad about this, but at the same time, I need to be safe, and I need my riders to be safe so they will come back next year and do this.
And you need a permit.
And I need a permit. And I can't get a state permit from the state of Connecticut for the use of the park at this time. So there it is. So I'm stuck. So, and to move it to a different area, it's just not likely that would happen. Bicycling Magazine says, is it safe to ride in groups again? Here's what to consider, according to the experts. And the comment here was, while states are slowly opening up, that doesn't mean that we are out of the woods. Riding with a training partner? We ride. I have my training partner right here. I have fantastic Franny right here. So, there's a hand. So anyway, having a riding partner sure helps. A small group of two or three that you trust is likely safe, depending on where you live and all the precautions that you need to take. People are still being pretty conservative about this. The CDC, the World Health Organization, they're still recommending small. But you can check with them daily. You can go to their websites and you can check with them daily and see what they have to say. But that's where we're at. Mike Machisco says that protest rides are allowed up to 100 with a underneath that. Yeah, I'm with you on the
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it at all. But yet we see this everywhere. We see it all over the place. There's, big crowds of people on bicycles. Albeit they're wearing masks, most of them, but it just makes me a little uneasy. That's all. It just makes me still uneasy. I'm still drinking the COVID Kool-Aid here. I'm not falling for it.
People
riding in pace lines, they're just really making, in my opinion, it's my show, it's my opinion,
idea.
It's a very, very, very bad decision. Because if you ride a pace line correctly, you're sitting, half a wheel length to 2 inches off the back of the wheel that's in front of you. And that is not 6 feet, folks. Two complete bike lengths. That's 6 feet.
You need to be more than 6 feet if you're on a pace line, because
there's a slipstream.
There's a respiratory signature.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's like 20 feet. So you really need to be 20 plus feet apart.
Yes, you do. So it's a lot of states have opened up. I'm seeing curves going back up again. Things are happening. People are not being smart about it. You got to be smart about it. Please be smart about it. Hi, Paul. How you doing? This is just, I know it's frustrating. I know it's a sacrifice. But the good news is you're fit. You're healthy. You can ride a bike. And you can just go out and do it on your own. There's a lot of people that don't have this luxury. So you're really in a good position right now. So when do we start group riding? That's a darn good question. I don't know that. I'm not sure what the answer is to that. I think it'll get a little better, but as we get deeper into the summer, I think we're going to have some better results. I'm hoping for some better results, but I'm just going to kind of follow. I'm going to watch and listen to what the scientists say. And I live with the scientists, so I kind of hear about it all the time, so to speak. There's Velo News has an article, is it safe to go on a group ride? And now group ride size regulations are specific to locale and are constantly evolving. This is where we're at. There's a lot of information out there. Dr. Michael Rashan, the chief medical officer at USA Cycling, addressing group riding in a webinar for riders and race directors and the media at USA Cycling, also put together a COVID-19 resource page. I would recommend that you go to that COVID-19 resource page because it does give some very, very good information. And I know that Dr. Rashan is going to be on today and talking a little bit more about, you know, where they're at. And he has been a good advice to USA Cycling people. I think he's spot on with what he's saying. So we shall see. The question in Velo News is, I want to go on a group ride. Should I? Okay. First, you should learn all the risks and do as much as you can to minimize situations that could contribute to virus transmission. Like any potentially risky behavior, the safety of going on a group ride can be addressed on a risk continuum. It's important to note that while the lowest risk option is to ride alone or with members of your household, riding with others doesn't immediately swing the pendulum risk too high. It's really about size and scope of what you're going on, Rashan says. Rashan said that the risk gets higher depending on the activity you do off the bike before and after the ride. Ask yourself how many riders are on the ride, where you will congregate before riding, and what type of community resources such as restrooms, restaurants, or coffee shops are part of the experience. These off-bike elements of the ride pose the highest risk for transmission. That's interesting. And again, USA Cycling comes straight from USA Cycling. There will be more today. I will have more information after today. According to Rashan, the risk of COVID-19 transmission is 19 times higher in enclosed spaces than it is outdoors. Thus, it is best to minimize your time spent in a closed space with other people before or after you ride. There are other basic epidemiological factors to consider as well. What is the incidence of disease in your community? Have other riders traveled or stayed within their locality? And again, while the least risky option is always to ride solo, riding with others who have not traveled, and who live in the area with lower incidence of disease makes a difference. Think about what local transmission rates are, he said. Think North Dakota versus New York City. How many people can I ride with? This is the big question. Unfortunately, there's no straight answer or magic number. As of now, group size regulations are specific to locality and are constantly evolving. While one state may allow gatherings of up to 50, another city may only allow groups of 10. According to many experts, these numbers are often a best guess. So it's not confirmed. For many group ride organizers, the uncertainty around safe group size has been the primary hurdle in restarting. I'm with them. I'm with them on that. Without treatment or a vaccine, we're going to be living under the curve, whether it's flat or steep, for a long time. While riding in small group of known contacts is usually considered the safest way to ride with others, even riding with a group that includes some unfamiliar contacts can be mitigated with behavioral changes like wearing masks, eliminated off-bike contact. Group size gets larger, the challenge becomes more about getting people to adhere to the same set of precautions. So, you know how sometimes you got a group ride and one of your rules is that there are no aero bars on the group ride? Mm-hmm. And you get that one person that says, I'm going to bring them and I'm going to ride in them anyway. And then you very kindly uninvite them from your group. You may have to make some tough decisions as far as that goes. If you have somebody who is not exercising caution, you know, it's not their life as much that you're worried about. It's everyone else's. That's how I feel about it. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if anyone does know what the answer is. But I just wanted to cover this today. I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, the whole motivation thing and the group ride thing. And when are we going to get back on our bikes? What is the safe time? No one has a solid answer on this. So we're just going to have to just continue riding your bike. Go out and have some fun. Find a new road. My reach out, my challenge to you this week on Bicycle Talk is by next week, I want you to ride on a road you've never ridden on before. How about that? That's my challenge. And maybe that'll motivate you to get out and give it a try. Think about that road that you've ridden by, you know, countless numbers of times, and you look at it and it just, you know, it goes up like this. It's bad. And you look at it and you go, I'll never go up that. Go up it. We'll see what it is. See if you can do it. Give it a shot. Try a road that you've never tried before. There's, you know, it may turn to dirt. It may have a junkyard dog at the end that's not so friendly. But you know what? You never know until you try. So go find a road. This is Peddlin' Ron's advice of the week. I should start that, advice of the week. Peddlin' Ron's advice of the week is to go find yourself a road that you've never been on before and ride it. Okay? That's good. There's your motivation. We're moving on here. I've got so many more pieces of information on this, all the way from legal aspects and others. But, you know, we're gonna probably just end things up here soon because I'm running out of time. It's amazing. So come to me, talk to me, tell me what it is that motivates you and keeps you on your bike. Tell me what it is that you think you should, tell me what your size group, your safety feel is as far as that goes. How do you feel as far as a comfort level? Is it three riders? Is it just your partner that you live with? Is it, you know, a handful of friends, which may add up to, you know, six, like they're doing in Great Britain right now or recommending in Great Britain soon? What is that number? What is that magic number? I want to hear your magic number. So come to me and bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can also comment here on this Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. I would like to hear what you have to say about this because it's important. The other things that I want you to consider is when you are out riding your bicycle, now you're going to see so many people that you have no idea who they are. You've never seen them out before. Instead of doing the major blast by, which I find many obnoxious cyclists do, slow down. Give them 6 feet off to the side and start a conversation. Hey, haven't seen you out here before. You know, is this the first time you've been on your bike this year? Where are you headed? How far are you going today? You know, how many times do you ride your bike in the week? It's so good to see new faces out here. Make some friends, okay, on your bike. When you're out on your ride, make some friends. You can do this 6 feet apart, but let's send out the good word from all of us who are cyclists. You know, all the ones, you know, we're dyed, you know, stripped, you know, we're all in Lycra and we're all, you know, geeky looking and all. There's a lot of mammals out there. But, you know, we maybe look at intimidating some of these people. Let them know that, you know, we're out there. We love what they're doing. We love that they're out there riding their bikes. And it's just a great thing. Give them a virtual pat on the back for riding their bike and share the road with them. Spend a couple of minutes talking to them, not just blow by, hey, how you doing? Boom, gone. That's rude. It's rude. All right. Let's work on that rude factor. And those are my finishing points and final words of the day on my show today. I just want us all to be more friendly with one another when we are out riding our bikes and encourage others to ride their bikes. Maybe, you know, consider dragging your neighbor out. Consider fixing your neighbor's bike. Maybe putting some air in the tires because you've got the great pump. Whatever it has to be. But let's continue this movement that we have right now of getting more and more people on bicycles. This is a very, very special thing that we are celebrating right now. So let's keep the wheels turning. All right. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Peddlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live or on Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to BicycleTalk, the numeral one at gmail.com. And you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please send me an email. Bicycle Talk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. Please feel free to share this as to as many people as you wish. You can watch the video over and over if you want. You can also share the links to whus.org. I do appreciate it. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs. Thank you so much for listening.